Prabhu, and thank you all for your warm welcome. India is known for its hospitality, and I'm very much appreciating the hospitality of all the devotees here, and nice to see you all. I'll try and speak a few words, which I hope will be of interest and use to us all. I went to one school, a devotee school called Gopal's Garden, and on the way there I noticed an advertisement. So rather than reading from scripture, I'm going to read from a billboard. For the first time, a fairness cream for men. It is called Fair and Handsome. If you go to Europe, you'll find everyone's trying to go to some seaside or some hot place to become dark. Especially in Italy. You see that, yeah, there, some of them are darker than you are. My wife is from Greece. And now she's living in England. She's worried she's becoming too light. So here's an alternative solution. You can move to the UK. Of course, you'll have to live with the weather. There is some illusion here, some Maya. Maya means that which is not. We all have some experience of illusion. That's a fact. What's that illusion? Well, first, with the advertisement, it was called Fair and Handsome. Of course, there's no guarantee by making your skin lighter that you're also going to change the shape of your face, that you'll become handsome. It's interesting. I heard a statistic that in the UK, 30% of personal loans, I guess you get loans here also, I don't know, but many people can take a loan from the bank. 30% of loans are for what they call cosmetic surgery. They try to improve their body somehow or other by removing fat or some, particularly the ladies, also the men now, you see. They're also interested, or a facelift. What is the problem with this? The problem with this is that beauty does not come just from the body. There's one story, some of you will know, that one gentleman, I think from India, he showed an Indian story. He had interest in one beautiful lady. But she was not only beautiful, she was also a bhakta. She was a devotee of Lord Krishna. So he kept on pestering her, I'm interested in you, will you come out with me? We can go and watch some of the Bollywood movies. He was asking her, but she was a devotee, so she suggested, come back after a week and I will reveal to you the secret of my beauty, the essence of my beauty. So she took some laxatives, some medicine, laxatives, I don't know what you call them here, but she went much to the toilet. And she was sick. And she kept everything that was coming out of the body. A week later, the gentleman came back. And she was very skinny and emaciated. And he said, I've come to look for that beautiful girl. And the lady said, I am that girl. And now let me show you the essence of my beauty. So he showed her what had come out of the body. Actually, Sripad Shankaracharya recommends us to meditate on what the body recommends we meditate on what the body is made of. We can analyze. This is intelligence. What is the body really? Those of us, we have some medical students here. Let's have a show of hands. Who's a medical student? Anyone? Ah, good. All sitting at the back. Medical student. So you know what the body is made of. You can give us a detailed analysis, I'm sure. Better than most. It is not so nice if we break it down to its components. So the point is, where does the beauty come from? We may be attracted to a woman or a man. That's a fact. All of us are, somehow or other. That's natural. But where is the real beauty? We don't. If someone dies, there is no beauty anymore. We're not attracted to a dead body. So where does the beauty come? We should analyze very carefully. This is not just religion. This is science. Let's be scientific. Let's put aside religion or sentiment. Let's be scientific. What is the body made of? And where does the beauty really come from? What is the nature of that? And we can analyze very carefully. We can look at our own experience. And Krishna explains very scientifically. Dehi nosmin yata dehi kaumaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptya dhirastatra namuyate. This isn't just theoretical knowledge. He's asking us to reflect on our own experience. He explains, just like the soul, the same soul in this body passes from boyhood or girlhood to youth to old age. So similarly, the same soul passes into a new body at death. We've all experienced having a baby's body. We all have some memory. Perhaps we can remember when we were 3 or 4 years old. We can reflect. That body's gone. And here we are with a middle-aged or getting old body, whatever, or a young man's body. And we know that this body will also pass, particularly those who are medical students. They have experience. They see. It will pass. But we know that when death comes, we don't know exactly what will come, but we know it'll be me who experiences it. What will it bring? The same person, I will experience it. There is a continuity of the person. But if we study matter, there is no continuity. It's changing. Nasate vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sutaya, ubhayarapi drishtonas, twanyas tatvadarshi bihi. Krishna explains, chapter 2, verse 16 of the Bhagavad Gita, you'll know, that all seers of the truth have come to one conclusion. All seers, there are many different sects within the Hindu tradition, the Vedic tradition, but all seers have concluded one thing. There are two energies, one which is always changing, and the other which is never changing. So we can reflect on matter. We can take any small piece of matter, tiny piece of matter, and analyze it over a very short time. There will always be some change. And yet in this life, we appreciate that the person is the same. You don't have to be a theologian to understand this. Even in normal life, when there is a crime, the police want to get the right person. At least in England. I guess in India also, they want to get the right person. Or a bribe, I don't know. But usually they'll want to get the same person. So actually if we follow Mr. Darwin's theory, Mr. Darwin said we all came from monkeys. There are ancestors of monkeys. Your gotra is the monkey gotra. It means with the body we come from chemicals. So according to that philosophy, the body is changing every moment. So I could argue when the police come or when I'm in the court, I'm not the same person. I've changed. And the judge will let me off, even without a bribe. No. We are, even in every, and my mother, you, we know our mother always thinks, even when we're 53 years old, she's still asking, are you eating well? She still thinks this is my son. This is scientific. But somehow or other, we think that science is something else. We're enamored by engineering, IT, or modern medical science, which is useful in some ways. But we're enamored with this science. Is this real science? And we're enamored with the West. We're interested. Anything that comes from the West is valuable. I know. But I've lived in the West. It's not so great. It's not so great. Will that bring us happiness? Is that real knowledge? Knowledge should give us happiness. Chanakya Pandit has explained very clearly. Sadbarai Bhushanam Chandra, Prithivi Bhushanam Raja, Narayanam Bhushanam Pati, Vidya Sarvasya Bhushanam. He gives a nice analogy. He explains that the sky is beautiful, naturally. We talk about the stars, the twinkling stars, starry night. But when the full moon is there, Chandra, it becomes really beautiful. Sadbarai Bhushanam Chandra. What's the next line? Sadbarai Bhushanam Chandra. I've forgotten it. Raja. Anyway, the king, he is the emblem of the land. A country may be beautiful, but when he's got a king, a good king, he becomes the ornament. That land becomes beautiful. Previously, you had great kings like Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Harishchandra. Where have they all gone? But when there's a good king, the land becomes beautiful. And a young girl to a young boy, then young girls are attractive. But actually, if a young girl has a pati, she becomes more beautiful. But anyone, Vidya Sarvasya Bhushanam, no matter how ugly, if they have Vidya, they become beautiful. So this is the secret of beauty. This is real knowledge. The beauty comes from within. And we see, when there are people who are pious, there is a radiance, there is an effulgence. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, in relationship to the devotees, they are known as bright-faced. They have bright faces. Why? Because they're practicing spiritual life. And the beauty actually comes from the soul within. That's a fact. No one loves a dead body. Just throw it away. So this is real knowledge. But everyone's looking now to the West. So what's the solution? I notice in Bombay there's a lot of poverty also. People live right next to the road in small houses. So it's understandable, we don't have to live in poverty. But the Bhagavatam mentions there's two problems. What are those two problems? Poverty and greed. So we should not be enamored by greed. Nor should we think that if we go to the West, or if we get technology here, everything will be solved. What's this? All our problems will be solved. They come again. Marcha spashas to Kunteya, Shitoshna Sukaduka Daha, Agamapao, you know Nityas, Tongues Ditikshas Fabharata. Krishna mentions in the Gita that the happiness and distress, they come like the winter and summer seasons. You may have fans, we may have AC, But we can't actually stop entirely the weather, the winter or the summer. Here the summer is a problem. In England the winter is a problem. Matra spashas. Matra spashas means it's by touch. Spashaha, touch. So by contact with this body, we feel happiness and distress. And it comes and it goes. You can't stop the seasons. All our wishing, please let the cool season come. Let this October heat be over. It won't stop it. Similarly, all our wishing for happiness, it somehow or other, isn't it elusive? Don't we have experience that we're somehow trying, but it doesn't come? Does that mean it's wrong to be unhappy? That we should give up? Or we should accept Talat? No. The soul, Anandamoya Vyasat, the soul is the source of happiness. Therefore, it is quite right to try and find happiness. But happiness is not found in this body. Nor is it found by trying to lighten our skin or fly to the West or bring technology. That will not work in the long run. I have experienced that actually in England, even though people have a lot of facilities, they look miserable. Actually, most people look happier here, actually. That's my experience. Really. There are so many queues at the bus stop, they really look miserable. Of course, poverty is also bad, and greed is bad. Why? Because they both cause us to think about money. And thinking about money is never going to satisfy us. Who's become happy thinking about money? Really? Someone was telling me he knows many big businessmen, but they're not peaceful. This example was set by Lord Vaman, Vamdev, you know, one of the Dash Avatar. Bali Maharaj offered him a benediction. Bali Maharaj was very wealthy, much more wealthy than, I don't know who's in charge of Tata or Mr. Bila, I don't know who you have here, very wealthy. And what did Vamanadeva ask for? Who can tell me? You know? Huh? 3 steps of land, yes. And someone asked him, I forget who it was, why did you just ask for 3 steps? Bali Maharaj, well, I could give you anything. And his answer was, if I'm not satisfied with 3 steps of land, I won't be satisfied with anything. There's an interesting quote also by Shakespeare. Shakespeare's one of our authorities in England. But he would, in King Henry IV, Part 2, there's a battle for the throne, politics. We all know about politics. So then one of the person who was trying to usurp the throne, he was finally killed after a long battle. And the prince, who was actually the Prince of Wales, the Prince of Wales in England is the heir to the throne. He said a very interesting quote. When that this body did contain a spirit, a kingdom was for it too small a bound. Now 2 paces, 2 yards, of the vilest earth is room enough. That's Shakespeare in English, a little difficult to understand. But what he's saying is, when there was a soul in the body, even a kingdom was too small. But now the body is, now the soul is gone. All we need for the body to bury it, because in England they bury it, they don't burn it, is 2 yards of land. So Vamana was making a similar point. How much do you actually need for the body? And of course we know, those who are brahmacharis, we have many brahmacharis in our movement, both from India and other places. They know all they need is 2 yards of space to lie. I was also a brahmachari for a while. So that's all we needed. We would travel in a van, a small van. 4 of us would sleep in a van. And we were happy. I'll tell you the truth. Now I am a grihastha. I sleep less well than when I was a brahmachari. Now I've got so many problems, and I sleep in a nice bed, and I would sleep on the floor of the van. So some of us have experience that you don't actually need so much to be happy. That doesn't mean we can't live in comfort. But poverty is bad. That's true. It causes us to think of money. But also greed also causes us to think of money. So let's not be greedy. We can certainly have a comfortable life. That's fine. But let us not forget our own culture. Because India is not going to become great by imitating America. America's far ahead. Why should we imitate? Sometimes we try to raise the esteem of India. Because India's been suppressed for many years. 700 or 800 years under the Muslims, the Mughal Empire, and so on. Turks first, then the Mughal Empire. 200 years with the British. And now we're trying to reassert ourselves, to build our self-esteem. Not bad. But what should our esteem be? What should we be proud of as Indian people? That is the question. We live in a modern age. Sometimes I know the young people think that this Hinduism is old-fashioned. I want to be modern. But what is India great for? In the modern age, the world has become so small. We call it post-modernity. Some of you will be familiar with that term. The nation state is not so important. Commerce through the internet cuts across national boundaries. And we sometimes talk about the world being a village. It has become so small. But actually many people know, that in this village, if you want to find the church or the temple, where does it lie? In India. They know that, even in England. Therefore, yoga, meditation, they're popular. And people know, this is where many people know, if you really want spiritual life, you go to India. I think Mark Twain says that as well. Mark Twain, the famous writer. This is really the seat of spirituality. So there are many people trying to build their esteem of India by other means. In England we have Hindu nationalism. I'm sure you have it here also. This is not the solution. It is mentioned in the scriptures that one who thinks that the body, Tridhatuke, made of three elements, I know maybe some of us will say, okay, 92 elements, we know. But actually, according to Ayurveda, three elements. What are those three elements? Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Yes? Three elements, you know better than me. Air, fire, and water and earth, I think. In England, it's becoming very popular. Ayurveda now, becoming very, very popular. That this body, made of three elements, they think, this is me. And what else do they think? They think that I will have an eternal relationship with my wife and family. Therefore there are songs, Everlasting Love. Nice sentiment, but unfortunately if we analyze with a cool brain, we will know that everyone passes away in due course of time. That's a fact. So those who think the body is the self, that we have a relationship with our relatives. That was Arjuna's problem also. On the battlefield, he thought, these are my cousins. This is my grandfather, Bhishma. This is my martial teacher, Dronacharya. How can I fight with them? So as soon as we think I am this body, then immediately, this is my mother, this is my father, these are my siblings, and so on. And then next, we think, the land in which I am born is special. Janma Bhumi. It is special. And we don't consider, well, everyone else thinks the same. Even someone's born in Iceland, or it's very cold, or somewhere. There's one devotee here from Iceland. They also think Iceland is the best center of the universe. We in England think England is the center. Of course, it has the zero meridian going through Greenwich. So maybe it is. But we think, my land is special. That's natural. That's okay. That's natural. But a little reflection, we realize everyone thinks like this. And what happens if I'm born in an aeroplane or on a ship? What happens then? What nationality am I? If you look on an atlas, you'll see two types. One is political, and the other is geographical. One was made by God, the other was made by man. And they're always arguing about where to draw the line. Therefore, there was the partition of India. And now they're fighting in Kashmir. And now the Sikhs want their own Khalistan. Is it not true? Yeah, some of the Sikh people want... So everyone's pulling apart the countries, putting them together again. And this just goes on and on and on, drawing the lines. Is this our real self? And finally, those who go on pilgrimage simply to take a bath. Fourth category. We go a long way for pilgrimage. You live in Calcutta, you go to somewhere, Hardwar? Is that on the Ganges? Hardwar. But why? The Ganges is coming through Calcutta. And if you live in Hardwar, then probably you go somewhere else. So this is... I live in Oxford. Many tourists come. I don't go to look at all the tourist sites because I live there. So one who thinks it's just ritualistic and doesn't listen to the men of knowledge, say Eva Gokara, he's no better than an ass or a cow. Why does the Lord say this? Because an ass or a cow identifies with the body. Even amongst the animals, the ass is celebrated to be a fool. Isn't that not true? Even the animals know. And sometimes when the calf is born, and it's dead, it's stillborn, the farmer wants to get the milk. He stuffs the calf and presents it to the cow, and the cow thinks, oh, here's my calf, and gives milk out of affection, because it's an affectionate response. So this is animal life. This verse explains clearly that it is not our duty to actually think that India is great simply because I was born there. India is great because of its spiritual knowledge. And that spiritual knowledge begins, Atato Brahma Jigyasu, with inquiring about Brahman, not about this body, about who am I. Therefore, if we want to make India great, we should actually understand what its greatness is. It is its spiritual knowledge. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us a solution. He wasn't telling us all to ignore what the West has to offer. He gave the example of the lame man and the blind man. Two men. One is lame, the other is blind. They can help each other because the blind man helps the lame man walk. And the lame man has some eyes, so he can guide the blind man. So this is cooperation. So Srila Prabhupada said that the West is blind, but it's got some wealth, some strength. And India has got that Atma Gyan, Atma Vidya, but it's now poverty stricken. It's becoming a little more wealthy, I know, but still, if you look, compared to the West, it's poverty stricken. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's solution was that combination. So there's no harm in us becoming somewhat wealthy. We can live a comfortable life like ladies and gentlemen, but we should not forget the real wealth of India. That universal, and my own experience in speaking to students in Oxford is that actually they, many young Hindu people value their tradition because of its openness and exclusivity. It does not fall into that trap of thinking my religion is the best and all others should be destroyed or whatever. That's going on. That's a fact. It's inclusive. We should remember, we should value this. It is universal. This is the value of what India has to offer. If Westerners such as myself can take to this, then actually surely you can also take to this process of Krishna consciousness. So that would be my request to you. Please actually help spread this valuable knowledge. You will not lose. Chanakya Pandit says, the beauty of knowledge is, because it's in your heart, no thief can steal it. It's not like when you've got your computer and you're worried, who's going to steal it? The other beauty is, when you give it away, it increases. So this is knowledge. So please, my request to you is to please take to this Krishna consciousness, practice it for yourself, see if it works. It's not a sentimental movement, and try to spread it for the benefit of everyone. This is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is the duty of all those born in Bharatvash. We should remember our great heritage and be proud of that heritage. That's a fact. But we should understand what that heritage is. Thank you. And I've noticed that His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj is here. I'm going to request him. I apologize for speaking while you're here, Maharaj, and request you please to carry on. Thank you and Hare Krishna.